Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 17. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children that were shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," he replied. "Have you ever read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise?'" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Penny. We spend a good portion of our lives trying to figure out the truth about the people around us, trying to decide which ones of their words are true. And in the end, we find that actions tell us what their words mean, whether they are true or whether they are not true. We hear many words and have heard many words passed between countries, between Ukraine and Russia, the United States, and all of the European countries, and all the countries of the world, really, about what is going on there right now. But we are now experiencing the second invasion by Russia into Ukraine. They did that back in 2014 and took the Crimea and turned the eastern part of the country into a no man's land, and they're just now finishing what they began then. And so whatever the words were said, whatever they said, whatever the words that were said, what is happening is that people are being killed. And that is what is telling us what the words meant or did not mean. And in this story that we are in the book of Matthew, Jesus has entered the city. We're going to read that passage in a few weeks hence, at the beginning of Easter week, Resurrection week. And so now Jesus is in the city. And words are being said about him. And whatever the words are that are being said about him, you can see what he does. You can see that he heals people. You can see that the blind can now see, and the lame can now walk, like the prophet said. And so those actions add mountains of credibility to the words that are being said about Jesus. The only reason you would have to not believe what Jesus said and what's being said about him by these children is if it were not in your best interest for them to be true. So Jesus, let me review it again, entered the temple and drove out all those who were selling and buying in the temple area. He overturned the tables of the money changers and threw over the seats of those selling doves. And he said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." Jesus, in a very real way, is striking out against corruption. And this habit or this thing they were doing of creating a marketplace in the temple courts, there is some historical evidence to suggest that that was a fairly new thing, that had perhaps been there only a handful of years. And so, rather like Jesus' cousin John the Baptizer confronting Herod, this is rather like what Jesus is doing. He's confronting the high priest Caiaphas and the regime or the establishment of the Sadducees in the temple complex about this business of setting up a marketplace there. He was putting his finger in their eye. And their response would be the same as Herod. Jesus would not last out the week before he was killed by them. And the Gospels, all of the synoptic Gospels, tell us about Jesus clearing the temple at this last week. But John has Jesus clearing the temple at the beginning of his ministry. And it could be very well that he had done that. And that might have been the time that this custom was beginning. And Jesus wasn't really known at that point. And so some crazy guy from the desert has come and turned over the tables. And he's gone now. But, well, let's get back to business here. It was a crowded, crazy place at the holiday time for Passover. So just set the tables back up. But now, this time, they know exactly who Jesus is. The whole world has gone after him, as they have said. He is known, and the meaning of what he is doing is much clearer. He is not starting a protest movement. He is acting alone, and he is acting with authority. He is coming. He has come already into the city, and he has come into the temple as the Messiah, as the King of Israel, speaking to the establishment of Israel, speaking to the ones who were the stewards of this place until the king should come. And he was speaking as the prophets spoke, and much more so even. Earlier in the book of Matthew at chapter 12, Jesus had said, "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." And now in this place that we are reading, we see that Jesus is the Lord of the temple. In fact, he is the temple. This is too much for the leaders, but it shouldn't be too much for them. They should have expected this to be this way. And the basic truth here is that truth upends our order. If I could get the first slide up, please. Truth upends our order like Jesus upended the tables and the chairs. And we are creatures who breathe in corruption. It's the water we swim in. Telling the truth will not be a good thing for most of us if we live in truth. This is not a religious thing particularly, or a Jewish thing, or an Israelite thing. It is a human nature thing. This is the very thing that Socrates spoke about when he was defending himself against the charge that he would be executed for. He said that if you want to be popular, you have to tell lies. But if you tell the truth, you won't be popular. And so he found that. And so this is where Jesus is exactly. And Jesus knows this full well. And so God is using these religious leaders as a contrast to the truth that Jesus is telling. They're the background against which you can see what he is doing. Wow. That is very striking what he is saying. He's saying that against the smoothness of the system. We all live in the system and we're all corrupt, as it were. Now, Jesus does something and he's acting in a very self-righteous way. But you know what? It's okay, because he's the only person I know that was righteous in himself. He gets to do that. We are never righteous enough to act in that way. There are some things that only Jesus can do rightly. Only he can be born into this world through the auspices of a virgin birth and undergo temptation by the evil one on behalf of all Israel, be victorious on behalf of Israel and victorious on behalf of all humanity as the son of Adam. Only he can lay down his life as a sacrifice unto death, as we have remembered this morning, and do it so that it is effective for everyone. Many people lay down their lives for someone else. It happens in wartime a lot. But to lay down your life and have it be effectual for all who will come, that is something only God can do. And so you and I, we pretend to cleanse the temple. We get all self-righteous, but in fact we know the truth, that we are part of the same corruption. We have sin in our hearts and in our lives. We like to protest. We like to commit civil unrest. But we know that when we do that, that we are corrupt people protesting the corruption of other corrupt people. That's the long and the short of it. We act self-righteous, but we are not. The hypocrisy of the reigning cancel culture all around us right now is that people are saying, we are so right that we cannot even let you speak to us because it upsets our self-righteousness. Only Jesus gets to do that. And he's doing something very specific in history, something that is probably not our role at all. The apostles Peter and Paul, they certainly got into enough confrontations in their ministry, but they never did this. They never confronted the establishment as the king, because they weren't. Only the Messiah can truly come and cleanse the temple. And the people that knew that they really needed God's son immediately understood who was there, and they went to Jesus. You see, there were a lot of people who were on Jesus' side when he did this, when he upset those tables. Verse 14 in our passage says that the blind and the lame, right after he had tipped the tables over, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. You see, this was all happening in the court of the Gentiles where the marketplace was set up. The blind and the lame weren't allowed to come in any closer, even though they were Israelites. They were made to stay outside in the court of the Gentiles. And so they had set up in the marketplace out there because, well, they're blind anyway. They can't see, right? And it could only help the lame people because, gosh, people are coming there and they're buying things. Maybe they'll drop an extra coin into somebody's cup. That was their place that they had to worship, as far away as it was. And it was now corrupted by this marketplace. And so Jesus really was acting on their behalf by driving the marketplace out. He was bringing the goodness back into a good place that was being run by corrupted people. They were the same people that had said to Jesus, show us a sign from heaven. And so here's a whole bunch of signs from heaven. Right where you live and right where you work, right in your wheelhouse and right in your face. In the establishment that you think that you own. And so Jesus' power is the sign. And that sign means that this is something important. His words are true because of these signs. Jesus had said earlier, what is it easier to do? To say to someone, your sins are forgiven, or to say to them, stand up and walk? And they do that. The power is the indication that the words have meaning. And so those who receive sight there in the temple area, in front of the leadership, those who got their legs back, their mobility, they understand exactly who this is. They know who is doing this in the temple area. They know who this is who's cleared out the marketplace from their worship area. But Jesus is not fitting into the corrupt story of the leadership. Their story is, we'll know who the Messiah is when he comes, and we'll let you know. And we'll decide, in other words. And truthfully, the Sadducees really don't believe any of this. Religion is their mechanism to keep power and money coming their way. Now, in our time, that mechanism is very often science or education or some other thing. It's not built into religion. It just happens to be what they were able to get their hands on in those days. Those kinds of people are all around us, all through history. And they refuse to connect the power of Jesus with the truth of his words, the things being said about him. And look at verse 15. When the ruling priests, the high priest and the Torah scholars, the scribes, saw the wonders he performed, they saw the miracles. Okay? It's right happening right in front of you. And then they heard the children crying out in the temple saying, save us, son of David. Hosanna to the son of David. They became indignant. Wow. The children get it. Nicodemus got it. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night because he knew how controversial this was and said, nobody can do this unless he's from God. And so Jesus, at this last week, at the beginning, he's not being shy about who he is anymore. He's in their face. The Son of David has cleansed the temple. Will you respond? He did signs in your temple. What do you think? And so the passage goes on. They said to him, after witnessing these miracles and hearing these words, they were more focused on the words. And they said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? Now the children are innocent. Children always know this. They know they're not convictable. They know what they can get away with. And so they are simply speaking the truth. The truth is, this is what the miracles mean. The miracles mean that Jesus is the Son of David that we've been waiting for. He is the Messiah, that is the anointed one, that is to say, the King. He is the Son of Man, spoken of in Daniel, who takes authority over the kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the earth, and reign a kingdom that reigns forever. But this story is not fitting into the framework of the priests and the scribes. And that's the danger of being simply the stewards until the king comes. they're corrupt, and it's making a great living and a great fortune for them, and putting them in authority over everything. And they use their power to interpret the scripture and interpret the events around them to justify their own corrupt practices. Does anyone recognize this behavior? Is this specific to these people? The answer is absolutely not. You just need to pick up newspaper, online, on paper, whatever, and you can read about it every single day. People say anything to keep their position, and so they do. And so Jesus answered the question, do you hear what these children are saying? He answered them, yes, I do. And haven't you ever read the scripture that says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing toddlers, you have prepared praise for yourself? So Jesus is no longer holding back. Everyone who has a need can see what Jesus is, or certainly what he might be. But the status quo is being pushed very hard. They see that they're going to have to tell a really big lie to keep the crowds on their sides this time, because the man is just right there healing people in the temple area. And so Jesus, at the end of the day, left them and went to the city of Bethany, out to Bethany, and he spent the night there. And he was probably going back to the home of his friend Lazarus that he had recently raised from the dead, and Mary and Martha as well. So what do you think? Jesus did not come to support our causes. Sorry. He didn't come to support our causes. He is the cause. He is the centerpiece of everything that God has done throughout history and will do in history. He makes everything new. He is the only one that has given us something truly new. We live in this high-tech world, and we think every gizmo we get, look at this, look at this. Now we've got real capability. And what this latest war has shown us, we thought this was so not 20th century or 21st century. That's so 20th century. Tanks, come on. No, what this war has reminded us of is that we inside are exactly the same as we have always been since the garden. And we need this Jesus, the Messiah. We just do. And we always have. And so we who swim in this ocean of lies and corruption every day, we have a place where we can find the truth. We have a spirit in us, the Holy Spirit of God Himself, the Spirit of Jesus, as it's called in the New Testament, that affirms to us the truth of who Jesus is. This Jesus who acts, he heals, he saves us by his death, burial, and resurrection. And he will be there at the end when we come to meet him face to face. And that will be the best day ever for all of us. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. You knew what you were walking into, and you did it anyway. You presented yourself as who you really are to the world around you. And the world rejected you, not just the world of the status quo and the leaders in that place, but the Gentile world with the Romans, all of mankind, we were all in on that rejection because we were all corrupted by sin. And so you came to make a way out of that morass for us. And we are just grateful forever. And so we ask today that whoever would reach out to you, would pray to you right now in the quietness of this moment and say, Lord, I need to be one of your children. I need to be locked in to your truth. I'm not going to understand it all, not even ever in this life, but I'm going to understand more and more because you are with me and you are walking with me and your spirit is in me. And I am living your resurrection life as a forgiven person, forgiven because Jesus died for me. Lord, whoever will say that to you this morning, hear their cry of their heart. Accept their faith, knowing that they really bring nothing at all. Accept their trust in you. And Lord, we just thank you that we will celebrate with you that they are now children of the mighty King. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.